It's Stefan from a comedy advice podcast bringing you a monster truck rally of an episode. Tonight's episode has special guest John Fletcher and is going to be packed with comedy and carnage. God, how do they speak like that for those monster truck commercials? I have no idea. But guys, it's Stefan from your favorite podcast, a comedy advice podcast. Just wanted to let you know we've got John Fletcher. And he's an amazing guest. We have a great time. He talks a little bit about his comedy career, losing a quarter of a finger, and working as a greeter at the Tempe Improv. We have a blast, and I know you guys are going to enjoy. So I'm just going to keep it short. That's it. You guys are going to enjoy. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you if this is your first time. Stay a while. If you've been here for a while, this isn't your first rodeo. Yeehaw! And thank you. You've been awesome. You have gifted me with downloads, and on the day of my daughter's wedding, I will be able to return something to you, make you a wish. You get the gist. You guys have been awesome. If you guys have not yet, please subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend, and God, I'm really sing-songy in the morning. This is what it's like when Stefan wakes up. He just wakes up, no alarm. It's just a, oh, it's time to get up, and then the candlestick is like, Be our guest, put all service to the test. And I'm like, this is my house. What are you doing here without arrest? But enough about me. If you also want to support me and this dumpster fire of a podcast, please go on over to Patreon. The link is in the show notes. You can, for as little as $2 a month, support me, my dream. This has just been so fun. It's my passion outlet. It's where my creative juices are flowing. It's like a creative juice stream, and you can jump on into my juices. The water's fine, or juice is fine. I don't know. Where was that metaphor going? I have no idea. So I'm just going to abandon it, veer away from it, and I guess just start the episode. Love you guys.
A comedy advice podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends
to make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy advice podcast.
That's like one of the reasons. Like, I'm excited to do this because this format seems to be like perfect. So,
oh, yeah. Thank you.
Keep going, guys. Like, just nothing but good things to say.
Oh my gosh. Save it for the podcast, man. I mean, I love this. No, I'm kidding.
Start it now.
Keep it coming.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. And welcome to a comedy advice podcast. My name is Stefan Sitani, and I'm your host. I have problems with volume, but my good friend and comedian, Eric Hughes, is joining me. How are you, Eric?
Fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. We've also got comedian Cam Sneed.
Hi, gang. My name is Cam Sneed. I'm glad to see you all.
Hi, gang. Wow, that was a good one. I like that. It's fresh.
It's like it's like Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
gang's
yeah.
All here.
Like, hey, zoinks. Like, zoink, scoop. And then there we've also got a very special guest. Nice. We've got local comedian John Fletcher.
Fletcher,
I should have. Yes, I forgot to clap. I was just worried because I put so much vibrato in Cam's intro, and I felt like I should have put it in John. So I'll do it again. John Fletcher. Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good now. I feel better about myself. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm shooting this like next to a window, and it sounds like a monsoon is about to hit me.
Oh, so, fingers crossed.
Well,
yeah. Special monsoon.
That's something
episode.
We want.
Oh yeah, a monsoon is about to hit this episode in the form of John Fletcher. By the way, guys, I feel like maybe I should turn on a light. I'm not going to, but I look really. The background yeah. is very dark. I don't have a light on. It looks like something creepy is going to just come out from behind me and get me. No one cares. It's listening to this,
I think there is something though in the corner though.
Don't
in the
stop.
Back dark when you see it in like the top.
You don't see that?
I
it's like
I
really
still,
dark right there.
Stop! No, God, please don't. I remember one time, this is shameful and I shouldn't be admitting this on the podcast, but I played Resident Evil with my cousin. Ooh. I think I was around 10 years old. And then we slept over at my grandma's house and I slept on the ground in a sleeping bag and we ended up switching places and I got on the couch because I was crying because I thought zombies were going to attack me. And for some reason, I thought the couch was completely safe.
That you're safe on an elevated place, right? Yeah,
exactly. But anyway, enough about me and my silly imagination. John, let's talk a little bit about you. So for us that know nothing about you, where did you come from? Where are you from? Phoenix?
No, I'm from Massachusetts. I'm from...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, some people say it's like the third largest town in Massachusetts, but Worcester is technically, by size, pretty sure, the second largest city in New England, just behind Boston.
Oh, man, we've got our... Jamie, can you fact check this? Can you pull this up for us?
Yeah, fact check.
I just want to say one quick thing before we get to know more about John Fletcher. You have such a badass voice. I feel like I would hear your voice if it was an interview on the radio on like Hard Rock 94 FM, and then you'd have like a lead singer of a badass band. That would be John Fletcher. You even have the name for it.
Like that's like one of the dreams. Like that's one of the reasons why I'm doing comedy. It's because like I had enough people. Every job I've had, it's been some. There was a dude I used to work with when I was a salesman at a Harley Davidson dealership, and he did perform on the radio for like 30 years, but he was the financial guy and he had that voice. He didn't say much, but when he did, you heard him and you could be like a room away and you could just hear like the baritone in his voice and just like, yeah, it's what I want for breakfast. And it was something like that. But you're like, wow, that's crazy. Like, so he once told me, he's like, you ever do radio or anything? I was like, no, but I want to. And he said, I'd look into it. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation.
He just walks away. I'd look into it. Yeah. What a badass way to leave a conversation, too.
Jeez. Yeah, he's John Valentine. I hope he's still okay. Like, I hope he's still doing good. This is like 6, 7 years ago. But
man.
Yeah, I've had several people tell me to do like voice acting and stuff like that. Like I have a radio type voice, so. Yeah. But I feel like I'm in good company, so it's like.
Have you taken like a little dip into the radio world before?
No. I thought about it. Getting into comedy when I started, there was at Stir Crazy Comedy. There was a teacher there named Deanne Kincaid, and she does voice acting. She's the only person I know in the Valley with like a close enough connection to like. Try to even think about that, but I even tested the waters or anything. It's literally just doing open mics and stand-up comedy.
Gotcha. So, well, if you want to try it, I can talk to you about that later. I ended up, when I was living in New Jersey, I went to a studio in New York and I trained in the art of voice acting. And I actually have a demo that maybe someday I'll share here, but it is...
Please do.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I do like go five ahead. Different ads. One of them is the, what is that? Where the, it's the beef jerky with Sasquatch. Jack Link's beef jerky. And then I have for one for Grand Canyon State University to show off my more serious side. And a couple others. But anyway.
The Fleshlight ad.
You feeling lonely?
It's a weird looking microphone. Like,
but anyway, the comedy. So you got started in comedy here in Arizona. It's Stir Crazy. Is that where you took the leap into the comedy pool?
Well, it started maybe like 5 years before I took an official class. This is when, I don't know if you got Sydney Smith. He was running crack ups at Toso's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did two mics and then I was just like, huh, no. It's like I got cold feet, and I was just like, I just didn't want to do it as serious as I thought I wanted to. And it's like I didn't have stories prepared. I barely had anything written. The only joke I had was about my me cutting off the tip of my right index finger. Ooh. And that's, yeah.
So. Based on a true story? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I would say so.
You are like the epitome of badass. You've got the hair, you've got the voice, you've got three quarters of an index finger. I mean, Jesus. I don't think anyone should fuck with you.
I came into 32 sliding on my face, and it wasn't even for a good play. I was already out. So it's like, but it's like, no, it's, man. Yeah. So that's all I had as far as jokes. And yeah, I just hung out for a couple of years and just, then I went and said, I've always said, I just want to take a class. I just want to take a class and actually have somebody who knows comedy teach.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, I signed up to do one open mic at the now closed
Comedy Spot.
Yeah, the Comedy Spot. And then, yeah, then I hit up a class a couple weeks later and then did two showcases with them and then hit the mics. Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
It was like a year and a half.
Was the was the class kind of like what you had expected it to be? Do you feel like it gave you that?
It was appropriate boost? For the time. It was appropriate for the time because it actually gave me a chance to form a 15-minute set.
Yeah.
And it was a professional writer. It was, again, that person who was who does the she's a screenwriter and does voice acting. She's there's a couple of people in the scene who know her who are also her friends, but
what's her name? Can you give her a shout out?
Deanne Kincaid. Yeah, I believe she's still the teacher over there, but yeah.
Okay. Ooh, shout out to Deanne Kincaid. Woo-woo! This is official shout out.
Deanne Kincaid.
Put some vibrato in there. Actually, while we were, when Pablo Francisco was last at the improv, she ended up actually coming into the room that night for a show. And yeah, so that was like a small, like, she'd had no idea I worked at the improv. So,
yeah. Oh man. So,
like one of her students kind of actually like working in the comedy world. And she just was kind of like, how are you? I wasn't expecting to see you here. And it was like, I was like, don't, like, we'll help you out tonight. I hope you have a great night. I love this guy. And it's like, I was thinking about it today, that whole weekend with Pablo Francisco, I only talked to him for maybe 3 minutes out of five shows. And it was just like, with her, I talked to her for 10 minutes and it was just like, thank you so much for everything you gave me. I was happy to know her.
I'm so glad you went that route because I thought you were going to be like, ma'am, you need to take a step back here. Can I see some ID, please?
Yeah. It was adorable. She was on a date to a Pablo Francisco show. It was an old dude standing there with a rose outside of the show. Like I sat him. Yeah, he slacks. Like it was an old school date. Like he brought classy. One single rose in a glass vase.
let's go to the show. I'll take you to the show.
I love that.
So I was like, I wanted to do something nice for him, so I was like, I said, let's help you out with your, you know, tab, and just I appreciate everything you did for me. It's just like, I hope I made her night better.
That's amazing. That's really sweet. Nice. And I wanted to ask about that too. So you said you are working at the Tempe Improv. How did you get into that gig? Were you thinking, hey, this could expose me to a lot of really great headliners and things like that? Or were you like, I just need a job?
I needed a job. I remember that one of my favorite parts about this podcast is, and I think you read my review, it's like all my friends are on it. Everybody I know is already on it. But it's before I got the job at the improv, I was actually working with Josh and we were doing remodeling a house and whatnot. So that was keeping me going. But then that job ended. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to find something quick. And it just so happened I was lucky enough to walk into the improv to see Zach Lyman host for Pat McGann.
Nice.
The other security guy said he can't cover the hours anymore and they need somebody else. And he's like, go fill out an application. This happened today. Go do it. And then Like, I was just trying to see if anything was happening. And then Carl said, go upstairs, talk to him right now. And then I was hosting.
Damn. What?
Yeah, it was boom, just like that. No.
So you've just got to fill out an application. That's all you got to do on it.
Right. And then it was just like, I love the job. I could never have met. It's still surreal to me. Like, people say, oh, you lose. I was like, no, it's like I'm sitting there in the same room with fucking Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm sitting there. It's just, it blows my mind. It's just, I want to see more people come and hang out at the Improv. I thought it would, that would be fun. That was what I want to say. Just like when people come, like when Bubba comes down, fucking everybody. I just love it. And it's just, that's what a comedy club feels like to me. And I love to be a part of it, but it's still very surreal. Like, oh my God, this is real.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm sure. I was just going to say too, I listened to the podcast Live at the Comedy Cellar, where it's Noam Dorman, who's the owner of the Comedy Cellar. He's got one of his friends slash comics, Dan Natterman. And I think the producer, she also works at the Cellar in some capacity, but they bring people in as guests that are comics that perform at the Comedy Cellar all the time. And then also people that work at the door, sometimes waiters, and wait staff, things like that. And it just seems like a big, not perfect, but a big kind of happy family. And so it's really cool to kind of feel like you're a part of that through the podcast, but it sounds like Tempe Improv is very similar.
We have like a good word is homogenous group. We work well together. I spent last week in Denver helping a couple of friends of mine who were servers at the Improv, Darian and Eli. Oh, I wish them the best. I wish them luck. But I helped them drive a gigantic box truck 19 hours into the Rockies so we could help them move.
Dang. Oh, wow.
Dang.
And I just remembered several times on the ride, I was just like, I'm going to miss you guys because the crew was really good. Like, we all worked well together and everything was going great, but we got shut down again. So it's like, what are you going to do? But we're going to try and figure out what we're going to do next. And I think we're going to come back better. So it's like, I appreciate the group at the Improv right now. One of my favorite parts is they come out to like Devils, and they come out and they actually watch comedy. They watch us like learn how to do big stage stuff. And it's like, sometimes it goes great. Sometimes it's also great. I don't want to be rude. It's not so great.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of comedy that they're used to, but I really appreciate the support they all have. So if anybody actually saw the podcast with Ali on Joe Rogan, Ali Makovsky, that was like, that made me happy that she was like talking about my boss. Because if you haven't seen it yet, she said every comedy club manager should take a class under Casey because he's that good. And I was just like, yeah, that's like everything I've ever heard. And it's just, that's the other part of it. I can't believe I'm working for that guy. It's just mindful. Oh, yeah. It's cool knowing him from the comedy side, but also like working for him. It's just cool. There's nothing that round, or just like raised. Like, he's almost always like level. You know, there are stresses in every job, but I just like he walks on the scene. It's just like everything just cools down. And just, I've never had a boss like that. I can't believe it's at the Improv. You know,
that's so cool. It's funny too. I had Ali Makovsky on this podcast episode 132, and I was trying to do research on her, and she was on, I think, on the Mo show. So I was listening to that. And then she was also talking about Casey and just being like, I feel like I get the VIP treatment here. And then he also is like, oh, you got to do the Mo show, or you got to do these. It's going to help promote the show. And I saw from that night that people were like, oh, I heard you on the show. You were great, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like Casey, from what you've said, from what I've heard others say, it's just like, I've heard nothing but good things about him. So it seems like, and obviously it speaks for itself with all these great headliners that show up, that it's a well-run machine. And it seems like people that perform there love to perform there. So that's really cool.
I love it. Like, like I said, it's just being around some of these guys that we see on podcasts every week, we see in movies and stuff, and then they're like standing like in front of me, and I'm just like, oh wait, that's Craig. That's Craig Robinson. Okay, we're good. And then I was like, I have to watch him, and I actually have to be security. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, and then I kind of snap back into my own body for half a second.
Try not to fan out, huh?
Yeah. It's hard because, like, I wasn't, especially with Craig Robinson, I was like, I walked in one day and he's like on stage doing a sound check. And I was just like, I thought I was running late. And then it just completely turned the rest of my night around. It was like, hey, that's him.
That is so cool. I think I remember a picture on your Instagram with him too, which
was one of the first. I don't do much on Instagram. You guys are killing it. I don't know how to do anything on Instagram.
Oh, I think we're doing much less than killing it, but thank you. I appreciate that.
I just found out how to embed music into posts like 2 weeks ago. Oh, and I thought I was a radio DJ for like 5 days.
You're feeling yourself, huh?
Oh my God.
I got it all down.
I played like I'm a huge fan of Creedence, Clearwater Revival, and like a bunch of oldies and stuff, a lot of Led Zeppelin. And then I just randomly threw up like Weird Al, like some heavy metal, you know, it just kept getting weirder. It's like, what else can I throw up that's completely not it at all?
Weird Al transcends genres.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
Yes.
Like, I was listening
to Art of Our Time.
It begins today, and I was just like, oh my God, this is like one of my first albums. I'm like, I should probably post this song on Instagram. But no.
That's awesome. I was going to ask too about, you were just saying how you see stars all the time working there.
Yeah.
What has been whom have you learned the most from? If you have learned in terms of comedy, learning about being a better comic.
It's something you just got to pick up on. Some guys are very happy to give you information. Greg Gutierrez, he showed me a new technique that changed writing for me. It's kind of the new format I use to write jokes. And then every once in a while, people will afford you information. You're not even looking for it. You're just saying, hey, we're going to the stage. And then they'll be like, are you a comic? I go, stop trying to be. And he says, it's like Bob Marley. He's like, just keep in mind, it's always like a scavenger hunt. Like, you got to find the little bits that work and through all the shit that doesn't. And it's like, if I ever get like a note like that, I'll go over to my book and I'll write it down and try to remember it as best I can.
Yeah.
Like,
reinforce,
I love
that
scavenger hunt idea, especially if you're a person who like writes on Monday. And I say that like, if you like write on Monday and then go to mics throughout the week, you'll have something different by Friday. But right now it's just like, it's fucking Wednesday. It's like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I try to learn as much as I can. It's really, to me, it feels like being in kind of like an apprenticeship for comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're around it all the time. You're constantly, you know, these are people, it's literally their job. Like, they get paid. They've reached where we're all, you know, where everybody's trying to go. So it's like,
it's amazing. It's like,
you're just hanging out. You learn a lot.
Yeah. It's just, you just get it from being in the room. And my favorite part of the job, and this is a small thing for me. I was listening to a Bo Burnham special recently. And I was like, where was this filmed? Like, the audio sounded like it just, something about it was different. I was like, where was this filmed? And I looked, and it was like, when it was one of his first specials he shot at the Tempe Improv.
Ooh.
And it blew my mind because it was like, there's no way I could have heard a recording from 2009, the same audio that I heard in the showroom like three nights prior. But it was just like, is there this like a weird side effect to the job? Like, I hear things differently.
Yeah.
Same thing with like laughs. Like my job, my majority of my job is to make sure people are safe, have a fun, happy time watching comedy. There are some people who have way too much fun for a comedy, and then they try to express it, and then that's when I have to say, hey, we appreciate you. We're going to have to ask it to come back on another night.
Dang. What's the craziest person that you've had to deal with?
My favorite time. It's like, so my counterpart at work is Carl Umfris, another local comic.
Oh, nice. Pinche Carlito.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, you talk about beards, bro. It's like, he's on a show of four dudes with beards. It's like, they didn't ask me. They asked him. They went right to the top. But so this is one that I was out in the lobby just watching stuff, but apparently a dude was sitting directly in the front row at the improv, and like, he was sitting on the row like this, like, so he's facing the show. Carl says, hey man, don't record. And the dude goes like this. Okay.
Oh my God. He's
recording. Pushes a button.
And then Carl's fairly cut and dry again, concise, very, very sharp. He's like, well, now I have to ask you to leave. And he's like, I'm not leaving. My favorite part is when people say, I'm not leaving. It's like, you're an adult. Come on, let's walk out. We're not doing this, you know?
Oh my God.
But yeah.
And as it turns out, he wasn't an adult.
Yeah.
All I heard on the radio was, just go downstairs, grab security, we'll make this easy. And it's like, once, you know, kind of like people see a badge or something official, it's like, oh, this is serious.
Right.
It ends the show for 4 seconds, but most of the time, it's like during like a feature or a headliner set, they're right there quick, and they're just sharp, and they'll knock them down.
Yeah.
Silver bullets all around, bro.
That's awesome. And so I know you said the Tempe Improv is closed right now. Is there a date for when they're thinking of opening back up, or is it just all tentative?
The tentative date right now, is from what I can see online, is the first show we're going to have back is Adam Carolla on September 18th through the 20th.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
Nice. Yeah. So that's hopeful. It's just, you never
crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to just get back into work. I got to do other stuff between now and then, but see what happens. I'm never not going to work at the Improv, hopefully. I always have a home there. So
that's
great. Sounds like one to hang on to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to ask too, it seems like during the pandemic, you've also been doing stuff with your hands. And no, that's not a euphemism for masturbating. I think you've also been making leather wallets. Yes.
We've all been doing stuff with our hands during quarantine.
I'm doing it right now. You guys can't see the hands. But you've also been making leather products, wallets, different things like that. Did you start that? Did you just look up YouTube videos over in the pandemic, or were you always a leather maker?
I was always a craftsman. I've been doing like woodworking since I was like a little kid, like going to Home Depot and building little birdhouses and stuff.
Nice.
I went to a trade school in Massachusetts, and I really dove into furniture making, like hardcore. Like, not necessarily much like carpentry and home building, like furniture making, cabinet making.
Whoa. Do they make everybody cut their pinkies off, or
it's a rite of passage?
Is that just like
Cam?
A wood shop? Yeah, is that how you graduate?
My grandfather, my great grandfather, my grandfather cut off his thumb working on a wood shaper in a wood shop.
Yep.
My great grandfather cut off these two fingers one time. I've dropped engines on my cousin's thumbs, popped them like grapes. It's like it just runs in the family kind of thing.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But like, you're saying it's genetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like we all work with our hands. It's like when I was 21, I was working in a factory, and I was just like, if I don't lose a finger, it would be weird. Like, I just had to like mentally prepare for it. Out of school. So it's just like that's what happens
in the trade. Into existence.
You're like, God. Come on, Pinky.
And that little bit was, it wasn't much. It was only like $43,000 in my pocket. That was about it.
Oh my God.
But they said, Like, I couldn't claim pain or paint. What was it? Yeah, no. That was like over, that was almost a decade ago, or like, yes, 8 years ago. But,
wow.
Yeah, like that little bit. If you want to lose a whole pinky, the problem is you can't know you're going to lose it. You just have to come to terms with it before it happens and hope they don't show you how to use the safety device, because that's what happened to me.
Shit.
Jeez.
Like they didn't. Yeah. But
I almost hope your family puts them up as collector's items or something instead of oil paintings of your dad and grandpa. You've just got a little set of fingers.
String of things.
Like a necklace.
You can tell your kid if he loses his finger, he can just put it under his pillow at night, and the finger fairy will come. And,
wait, no, go back. No finger fairy.
Yeah, backpedaling. Oh, yeah, finger fairy does not sound good.
Still lose a finger if you're a dentist.
You can put your fingers right in people's mouth if you're a dentist. I think it's more likely.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's a common hazard. My dentist is just all thumbs. Yeah. But. Oh, man.
I always did things with my hands. I was always like a craftsman. And then about 4 years ago, I kind of didn't want to, like, I got a little kit from Michaels because I wanted to do like something out of leather. And then I found a YouTube page. It was called Quarter Leather, and they're actually out of Orleans, Massachusetts, which is kind of pretty cool. It's like its hometown. I never knew they existed.
Nice.
But the way I started was they had videos that were almost ASMR. All you would hear is like the tools against each other and like cutting leather and like pounding a hammer. There was no music. There was no sound. There was no nothing. And I just remember like at the end of my last relationship, like I kind of like those were big part of my day. Like I'd smoke a joint and I would just kind of zone out and watch craftsmen work with tools. And then I was like, I want to try that. So then I just slowly started gathering knowledge. And then, yeah. So it's like, this is the wallet I made maybe like 5 months ago at the beginning of COVID. And I tell people it took about 5 years to make because like I didn't come out right away and make this. It took 5 years of actually like trying it and failing. There's a good analogy for comedy here. So it's weird tricks and stuff over. And then I think I made a post recently where I said, I never really know what is going to happen when I like first cut into it, like a piece of leather. And then all of a sudden I have like a wallet or I have a book like this one. This is one of my new notebooks. And it's just like a small little pad, but it's just like 4 minutes of that. And
that's badass, man. And
I love them. Like I made one for a couple of comics like Ponciano and Josh Boyle and all them. But yeah, if anybody ever wants anything, I love fucking, I'm always moving and doing stuff in it. So.
Do you hear that, audience? If you guys want some leather, we'll put the link in the show notes to John's Instagram or wherever else you can contact him, and then he can get you whatever. Yeah.
I want a leather jacket.
I've seen it. Good jacket. Yeah, do you do jackets?
Can you get matching jackets for me and Eric and Cam that just say a comedy advice podcast on the back?
Yeah, dude.
Get some leather chaps.
I want an Inspirebot quote on the back of mine.
Yeah.
We're
there.
We're almost there. We're still learning. How about that?
All right. That's great. That's going to be great merch.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite pieces of merch, actually, it's not even merch. It's like I just made these. Like it's like a little charm here. I don't even know if you can see it, but it's like a little stamp.
Oh, I see. That's cool.
It's like, oh, that's like, cool. So had the first, like, the index finger is missing a little.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to find a stamp, and I just ground it down with a Dremel, and I was lucky enough for it to be the right hand. Oh, so when you see it, it looks like I'm giving you a piece of fiber.
That's great.
Like, started passing those out to people just as like keychains and stuff, but no.
That's awesome.
I've seen your stuff online. Merch, it's really good work. Yeah, definitely.
It is. It's check fine out. Craftsmanship.
Today's episode is presented by Veyer. Veyer was founded with the goal of building an affordable, everyday wristwatch that blends tasteful design with extreme durability and functionality. Veyer returns a sense of dignity to affordable wristwatches and are built to last. Veyer is a true American watch company specializing in both quartz and automatic watches. Veyer is offering my listeners 15% off if you use the code PODGO15. Go to VeyerWatches.com to learn more and get your new timepiece today. The clock's ticking.
Well, good, John. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get, unless you have anything else to say, not that we're going to stop you if you say anything during the rest of the podcast, but it was it's awesome having you for the interview portion. We're going to go into the self-help portion, and we're going to start off with an inspirational quote. Before we provide the one that we have, I like to ask our guests if they have any inspirational or motivational quotes that help get them through their days. Do you have any, John?
I think Cam knows, like, I almost always end my sets with a quote to, like, I actually have a couple.
That's interesting.
I love this talk. Yeah. So it's one I've been saying, I'll give you my top three. One I've been saying recently, especially with all the protests and everything with Black Lives Matter, over Martin Luther King weekend, I picked up another one. It's we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Ooh. I love that. Super inspiring.
That's a cool one.
Yeah. I think it correlates directly to open mics and then shows. It's like sometimes you see people on shows, sometimes you see people on other shows. It's like sometimes you might be disappointed, but don't lose the hope that you actually like to get to the next spot. The next quote I have is a Doctor Who quote. It goes, what's the point in growing up if I can't be a little childish sometimes? I love that as far as like comedy.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's a good one.
And then the last one, Thomas Paine quote. It's my country is the world and love is my religion. He was a statesman in colonial America, argued against slavery and whatnot. He was pretty much the first Massachusetts liberal.
Nice.
But the reason I integrated into my set is because I try to think about that. It's either that or all this is pointless. So it's like, I love ending. It's like, you learn something and you get a stupid laugh. It's like, I love it.
I love that.
It's classic.
Yeah.
I've heard of people ending their emails with a quote, but a set with a quote. That's a unique one. I like
stepping
that.
It up. Yeah.
It's really, wow. Gosh, a visionary here. I love it, John. Well, thank you. Those were great quotes that I don't dare poke fun at because they're flawless and impregnable from the humor standards. So we're just going to go on with our shameful quote, and it's not by Martin Luther King or anyone that is inspirational at all. It's by Inspirobot, which is a robot that uses AI to take some of the most motivational words known to man, slap them together, and poof, a motivational quote appears. So, Eric, would you like to read this week's quote by Inspirobot?
You got it. This week's quote, it's never too late to wait for people to come to you.
Okay. So maybe it's saying don't go to other people. If they're like, oh, give me a call sometime, you don't call them. You wait for them to come to you. Because
this is the best deepfake I've ever seen. Like,
I love it. What were you going to say? Something else, John?
No, that was it. It's just like that's what it is.
Do you feel inspired?
It's never too late. It's good. I just wish we could actually.
Do you feel inspired, John?
I think so. It's close enough. It's almost there.
Keep going.
We'll wait.
I just there's too many twos in it. It's like I'm looking at it like I'm actually like reading the quote, and it's like it's never too late to wait for people to come to you. It's just like too many T-O-O.
Yeah, you get lost on it. Yeah.
That is true. Too many prepositions.
It's like it's a quote. What is that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we have to guide. InspireBot's very hard to decipher. It's either so wise that only the wisest of wise can be able to decipher it, or it's so stupid that we
only the wisest
to,
of wise
understand it are futile. So we're not sure yet. It's been 100 or so episodes that we've been doing InspireBot quotes.
This is not bad. It's almost too ambiguous to call, but
that's like, true. That's true. Maybe InspireBot. Oh, sorry. By the way, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I think there's just a little bit of a delay with us. So I don't mean to speak over you. I'm very sorry if that happens. Anyways, finish your thought. I apologize.
Oh, no, that thought's gone.
I crushed it.
I guess it's too late to wait.
Great.
For Jonathan Fletcher to come to you.
I came to John, but John didn't come to me. That sounds disgusting. Finger fairy, no. But
right back, go back,
say,
go back.
This might be, you know, those old people that fall down and they can't get up. Maybe it's like inspiration of it's never too late for somebody to come to you, because you obviously can't come to them because you've fallen and you can't get up.
This is
there it is.
Life Alert.
This is, oh my God, Life Alert and InspireBot in cahoots. This is sponsored. Yeah. We found out the source.
Because when you fall down, she's like, oh, it's too late. And then InspireBot's just like, it's never too late to wait for people to come.
No. It's never too late. Hold on. Yeah. It's just so comforting. God. All right. Aaron, is this screaming anything wise to you?
I feel like it might be talking about those people who are always late to, like, you're going to get a get together. Hey, let's all go see a movie or something. There's always that person who's going to be late. Sometimes that's me. I think if you're the person who's always late, maybe you're the person that should be hosting, because then you're already there. So you're never going to be late if you got to wait for people to come to you.
That is wise AF. That's fire. I love that. I tried that on for
so
size.
Just don't be late to your own party.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. If you're getting married, don't be late to that, because that would be
no
trouble. Trouble.
Yeah. Of all things to be on time for, it's the wedding.
Man, this show's progressive.
I don't know. Sometimes people like a little suspense in their weddings.
That's true. You can be fast very late, I guess.
No, the whole thing. Yeah. We got food just in case.
There you go. All right, guys. I feel like we're getting there. We're pretty inspired. But just in case we weren't, I also added some song lyrics. Trying this on for size. It might fail completely. And then I'll just edit it out. But if it works, it works.
The magic of editing.
Yeah. So we've also got some song lyrics to help get us inspired. These are from the Chainsmokers. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to them, but this is from the song Closer. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it, because I feel like stripping all the music is going to concentrate the poetry. So the Chainsmokers, they write, "They tell me think with my head, not that thing in my chest. They've got their hands at my neck this time. But you're the one that I want. And if that's really so wrong, then they don't know what this feeling is like. And I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah." That's as far as I can go. I'm done.
I see you have that last part memorized.
Yeah.
You did that without reading.
Yeah, I was just gonna try and hold it until I cracked, but
that kind of felt like the beginning of some slam poetry.
I know. I was trying to do it as least musical as possible, but then it started getting some sort of rhyme to it, and I was like, I'm fucking this one up. But I don't think that one needs deciphering. I think we're all it's soaked into us, and yeah, was the most motivational part for me. So
close to you guys.
Yeah, good.
like you're saying, like, yeah.
Yeah. That's what you have to do to drive the point home. You just have to say, yeah. If you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, no. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people on Facebook, when they're arguing with each other, use this as a tactic for arguing. Yeah.
I hate when people, like, there will be like this launch. Like, I write a lot politically, and like I do put my opinion out there, but like people recently asked me, why do you put your opinion out there? Because the current administration, I want to put as much distance between me and that as possible, and that's a fair account. So it's like, but I do get like wordy and whatnot, and then I hate when there's this one thing, like I'm trying to pour like emotion and like I'm trying to ingest like put brevity into like a comment thread, and then all of a sudden I'll just get a like whatever, like yo, and then you just like nothing happens. It's just it, but then like a couple of the people notice it. It's like there are a couple of comment threads that I like hang around and I form an opinion in, because it's not necessarily an echo chamber. It's actually pretty widely dispersed. But there's just every couple of there's always one.
There's always one. You know what, John? I feel like you should write songs because you're a writer. You like writing. And you've got a good voice. You've got a great voice. I feel like you could probably either scream it. You could do slam poetry too, but I think that would be less effective. But you could also, I feel like you'd be in a good metal band, like a rock, maybe a classic rock band.
Country.
More than likely. Like I love say country.
He said country.
No. That's not a country voice.
No. No. It's like Johnny Cash gets a pass because he's rock and roll as fuck.
Yo, Fletch, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's 100% a country voice. If I close my eyes and I'm like, oh, that's a country guy. He's a country singer.
Yes.
So
I fall in love with country music now. I hate country. I'm not a fan of country music nowadays, but it's like back in the day, like in the 90s, you had Josh Turner and Garth Brooks and stuff like that. So it's like, I like that stuff, but like I grew up on old school country. No, I tried that one time. Didn't work. that's why I didn't go back to stand up for like 5 years. But like I did try that. I tried to go and just say, just call me up as Fletch. And just, no, I tried to make a persona on my second night out. And I was like, no, I don't even have a joke yet. So, but no, I don't know if you guys ever heard of a place called Third Space.
Yes, I did hear about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that was one of my favorite bars. Fuck Electric Needle Tattoo. You always got to say that. But it was one of my favorite places because group of performers we had there, it was poets, it was comics, and it was musicians. It's I've played songs there. I've done comedy shows there. I've hosted them. I did I stumped for Bernie Sanders at one point. That was weird. Like, because all the comics were in the back, like looking at me, like talking. I'm like, why is he wearing a jacket? It's like, I'm getting political. But it's like, no, it didn't work.
Oh, man.
But, I remember that place. And it's like, I've always wanted to play music and do something with, like in my D&D group, I'm a bard. So, like, that's about as close as I get to performing music. But, I've always wanted to play in a rock and roll band. I think that's, like, if you listen to, like, three or four bands, like Linkin Park, Metallica, like, or if you listen to a couple of different bands when you're in your teenagers, you end up growing up having that dream, like, I want to do that. Like, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But
it's never too late to let people come to you, John.
Fans.
That's all I got to say. All right. We're going to move on. We're going to go to our first question. This is from it's found by our fan Tina. Thank you, Tina. It's from Reddit. It says, my mom gave me a really thoughtful gift I don't like. Advice? I feel awful because my mom bought me a $100 necklace she can't return, but I don't think I'll wear it. It's a compass pendant about the size of a toonie she gave me because I've been struggling a lot recently to find my way, etc. I don't really wear necklaces, and it feels bulky and large. I know I'd probably get to use it, but I just don't like the design. Any ideas on how to make this better? Sincerely, ungrateful alive. I tried to go with a Grateful Dead contrast here, but it didn't quite work. But anyway, let's focus on what's important here. John, what would happen if you gave your sweet girlfriend a leather... I don't know. What are you making right now that's made of leather?
Like, I've given her like the first 5 wallets I've ever made. So she's got like a bunch of fucking wallets. She's got a book. Like, I made her a personal like notebook that she's a bud tender. So she writes a bunch of like different notes in it. So she got plenty of that shit.
Okay. So what if you gave her something and she was like, no, thanks. I don't like this.
I'd be like, cool. I guess I'll use it. Like, I'll repurpose it. But if it also sits on the shelf and when she looks at it, she thinks of me, even though she's like, I really fucking hate this. I technically gave it to her, so she's thinking of me. So who's really losing?
Well, you're still thinking of me.
That's some good advice. I think that's some good advice. If this person doesn't want to wear it, maybe they can hang it up where it could be a nice decorative piece in their room where they could.
I was actually thinking, yeah, when you sent me this before the show, I actually got a chance to look at it. I was like, the first thing I would do is integrate it into something because it doesn't have to be a necklace. You can do it. If it's your gift, you can do whatever you want with it. If you're using it in a different way, I don't see it. If like you wanted to, like, I love, like, I've thought about starting like making jewelry and stuff like that, because again, it's simple, you don't need a lot of space, it's not heavy or anything, but it's like, if you can learn how to do small stuff like that, you can put it on like a bag or something, you can put it on like a book bag, you can make a, I don't know, there's tons of stuff you can do with it. It's just that, I wouldn't get too hung up on the purpose of like a necklace gift. It sounds like it's a lovely gift and it does have some sort of sentimental value. So like, giving respect to the gift itself, just try to think of new way to wear it or new way to present it, but hold it in some like a place of esteem, because that's what it's for. But
that's like, very insightful.
I like how this, like, I also noticed this from Canada. I'm pretty sure this is from Canada because the word toonie, I'm going to say it's like that. Yeah, toonie. Yeah. A loonie or a toonie, but.
Yep.
Oh, very astute. I hope
their compass works out well.
Yeah. That was great advice. Very insightful. And then also astute observation with the toonie there. Now, Eric, what are you thinking about this? What's your advice here?
I picked up on the toonie as well. I noticed you didn't do a Canadian accent, first of all.
Sorry, but, sorry about that. Sorry about next time.
but let's set this straight. $100 necklace, Canadian. So it's more like a $75 necklace, right? Let's say that.
True.
And they actually admit that they lose their way, and it's a compass, right? So maybe just suck it up. Maybe you actually need it. Or you could hang it. You could hang it up on your in your car on the rearview mirror, right? That way you're not getting lost in the car.
Yeah, that way you know which direction you're going. Yep.
And if you visit your mom, pop that on. She's not going to know you didn't wear it.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like, wear it around the person that buys it for you.
Did she mean losing her way literally? Like, she's just constantly getting lost and she needs a compass? Because if that's the case, then she definitely needs this compass. Make it into a watch or something. I thought it was figuratively. It's like, oh, this is cute. But if she's directionally confused, I feel like this compass is a necessity.
I like the idea of turning it into a wristwatch, and you're always looking at it. Someone's like, what time is it? It's like, I don't know, east?
It's north o'clock, guys. That's all I know.
East 30.
That's great. Cam, what are your thoughts here? You seem... Out of, oh, by the way, before Cam answers, I'm going to say, I feel like Eric, if you got a gift, you would accept it, even if you didn't like it. John, you would accept it. I would also accept it because I'm very nice. But Cam, I feel like you would be the type of guy that would
no,
be like,
no. I would accept it. And I kind of like Fletcher's idea where like you still use it, but I also disagree with the idea that you don't have to use it as a necklace. Like, I think you do have to use it as a necklace. It doesn't have to be your necklace. Like, you can like put it on your dog, or you can like put it like, around like the cactus out front, or like just like put it on something, like you use it and be like, look here, this is, it's on display. But it doesn't, if you don't like it, if it's not your style, that's okay too, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, if you're an artist, you can literally get away with anything. So it's like,
so use it, but not on yourself because you think it looks hideous. That's great. So I did. I was kind of right, Cam. I was kind of right about you. Yeah. Scoundrel.
Was this your necklace, Stefan?
It's a sore subject, okay? All right. Moving on, we're going to get on to our next segment, which is celeb advice. And this is where we read an article from a trustworthy source and we give the celeb advice, or we take the advice from the celeb from their example. Either way. But this juicy gossip comes from somewhere. It's titled, I just couldn't resist. Actor Dennis Quaid is adopting a Lynchburg shelter cat named Dennis Quaid. Before we get into the article, we like to take this time and ask our guests if they can do any celeb impressions. So John Fletcher, can you do any celeb impressions?
Clark, let me tell you, that's a whole lot of money just lost right there. Love Dennis Quaid from
That's a pretty good Quaid. Do you, John, do you want to be the voice of Dennis Quaid as we read this article?
No. That's Cousin Eddie. I don't know how Dennis Quaid actually talks. That's why
he had the Randy Quaid going.
Yeah, that's what it was. Dennis Quaid. I'm losing it.
You're doing amazing. You're doing great.
The now, brothers, Robert, right?
I mean, you kind of have like a natural like Quaid type of voice, you know, like he kind of also has that like kind of country singer like tone to him. Yeah. Quaid face.
You know, you got, I mean, a Quaid, like, face. Johnny Four Fingers isn't that bad of a country band name.
Ooh. You can play the banjo.
Tune all the strings on her banjo right in time.
Now, I almost called you Randy and then Dennis, but John, can you do any other impressions that you'd like to showcase for the group?
No, I don't have to. I don't do too many good impersonations. It's like, it's one-off stuff.
No shame. You did it. You did great.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to move counterclockwise, according to my Zoom, I think. Eric, do you have any new ones that you'd like to showcase this week?
I'm going to throw in the towel this week, too. I got nothing. Sorry.
Me too. I have nothing new. My celeb impressions.
All right, I guess I have to carry you guys on my back. I guess I just have to be the only one that came to the table with an impersonation this week.
Really? Good. Busted
out. Show us what you got.
I've been working on my Britney Spears.
of course you have.
I mean, unless you want me to do Donald Duck again. I could do Donald Duck again, Stefan, if you want.
Your Donald Duck impression has been haunting me.
Can you do Donald Duck singing Hit Me Baby one more time?
Yes.
Okay, ready?
Just like Britney.
Man. God.
Oh man, that remastered
version.
He kind of has
like a Asian accent. I can't shake that quite.
It emblazoned this image of Donald Duck in a schoolgirl outfit, and I didn't like it. I didn't like where that brought me.
Leave Donald alone.
No, no, no. Oh, God. All right. Well, do you want to do the
break? Let me take my, can I claim my time back? Because Cam inspired me. Like, I can do Donald Duck, but I do Donald Duck mad.
Oh, do yes, it. Please.
Whoa. I like that.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, man. Since we're doing Disney characters, I think I'm gonna try a Mickey Mouse, but I think I can only do like the hey everybody, welcome to a comedy advice podcast. Ha-ha. All right.
That's not bad. That's really not bad.
All right, here's my I've been inspired as well. Here's my terrible goofy
Gorsh.
Oh, good.
This is why Disney is so damn magical, because it inspired all of us. Nobody had anything, and then we got inspired by Donald Duck, and then we just kept going on the chain.
Really is magical.
God. Wow. All right, well, this podcast is sponsored by Disney, but we're going to get into the slub advice.
Oh, no, not us, too. They got us.
We've got you. Oh, you're
you didn't get your check?
Yeah. Is it check? Oh, shit. Oh, bro, this check's coming? Hell yeah. Give me the checks.
A comedy advice podcast now streaming on Disney Plus. If you guys didn't know.
Right next to you.
Right next to Hamilton. Exactly. All right. We are going to go ahead and read this. Eric, would you like to take this one away? Huh?
You got it. We couldn't make up this story if we tried. Last week, we introduced you to a cat named Dennis Quaid at the Lynchburg Humane Society, in need of a forever home as part of our Clear the Shelters initiative. Well, this week, he will be making his journey to that home, but you may not believe who's adopting him. Wait, who's going to do the Dennis Quaid?
It was really off the wall, but I just couldn't resist. I had to.
You sound like the guy from
Strong Bad,
Men in Black, asking for more sugar. Exactly.
Ripped. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Oh, yeah.
You're about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop.
That too. You do a good Rip Torn, actually.
Thank you. He's about to say thank you in the voice.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on. Quaid couldn't pass up adopting the little guy with his name in the Lynchburg Humane Society.
I'm about to save all the Dennis Quaids of the world.
A tale so good, shelter staff couldn't believe it at first.
Maybe they should start naming animals and shelters after different celebrities and see who bites.
So, what do we say about Quaid adopting all the Dennis Quaids of the world?
Let's just name every animal Dennis Quaid.
That was a good...
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, shit.
Hey, he said it. Hey, let's do it.
Name the whole society. The Dennis Quaid Society, where every animal's named Dennis Quaid. It's going to be very confusing, but he's going to create a shelter.
He just can't help but adopt all these cats.
Him put his money where his mouth is. You really want to save every Dennis Quaid? Well, every child up for adoption named Dennis will instantly be Dennis Quaid if he adopts them.
Oh, my God.
He's got a lot of checks to start writing.
So if there's any orphans listening named Dennis...
Why?
Contact us.
Oh man, hope they might be out of luck in all the places like Dennis Martinez or Dennis. I don't know what an Ethiopian.
You know, before Dennis starts getting some more animals, he needs to get Randy under control. Get him house trained.
Yeah,
What's going on with Randy? I'm not up to date with Randy news.
Batshit insane.
Yeah, he's just batshit insane. Go on YouTube and you'll find a video of him spanking a lady of the night.
Oh,
wow. For views, of course.
Scoundrel. What a scoundrel. Jeez.
What's Randy?
And what a contrast. His brother is adopting animals. Well, hold on, though. Oh. Hold on. Isn't it kind of egotistical to be like, oh, his name is my name too, I'm gonna adopt him. Where if it was like, if the dog's name was, or the cat's name was John Fletcher, he's like, well, fuck that. That's about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop. And so, sorry, Monsoon.
Did you see that thing in your corner too? In the corner
God
of the room?
God damn,
right
zombies!
I saw that too.
Let me put my, feet above.
It's all crawled up on your wall like this.
Oh, God damn it. I got so scared after watching The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Did you guys ever see that? This was back when I was very Catholic because I grew up in a Catholic family. Oh, bro. Oh, it's, I would not recommend not seeing it, but it's so terrifying. And yeah, and it kind of reminds me of this room right now where she's hanging on the ceiling upside down. But
like that?
Oh, fuck. Oh, okay, hold on. Stop thinking joyous thoughts. Oh, all right, getting back to the podcast. Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, so we're good. Back into it. But going back to Dennis Quaid, I think it's a little egotistical. I was going to say he's a saint. Randy, not so much. But is he that much of a saint adopting something because they named it after him? Or is that feeding the ego? So
He's going to feed himself. He's technically feeding himself.
Oh my God. Let's all put ourselves in Dennis Quaid's loafers right now. If you had a pet named after yourself, if Eric, you had a pet named Eric Hughes, not just Eric Hughes, how would you, especially if it was a dog, I think that would be fucked, actually. You would kind of, if you had any significant other that's like, come here, Eric Hughes, come here. Eric Hughes, sit. Sit bad, Eric Hughes. You get confused all the time. So I feel like Dennis Quaid really screwed himself because he just got married to a 29-year-old. And so I'm sure she's going to be talking to the cat. And so it's just going to be confusion all around. Bad move, Dennis Quaid, is my final say.
Do cats even respond to their own names?
Yes.
Mine do.
Mine
your guys
too.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe your cat's F.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not. Maybe you should speak to it. What, like Donald Duck? Oh yeah. Maybe you're just saying the wrong name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try Dennis Quaid.
If a celebrity came and took or came to your house because your cat was named after it, what would you rename your cats, or at least one of your cats? What celebrity would you want coming and taking your cat?
So we need to lure a celebrity.
By naming your cat after it.
Mm.
Maybe more people should name cats after celebrities, you know?
Rip Torn. I would make Rip Torn, and then Rip Torn would come back from the dead and
right? Zombies.
Oh God, no, God, I shouldn't have said that. But yeah, I don't know, Eric or John, let's go to you. Ugh. What would you name? Do you have any pets?
I don't. I'm not allowed to have pets where I'm living right now. But the last pet I had to give up because I moved out of my ex's house, and it's like I still have my pit bull as like the background of my phone. So it's like I never really gave her up. I say it's like I don't have visitation rights. It feels like I was divorced and I don't have visitation rights. It's stupid.
We're talking
about getting rats right now. Like those are the only kind of animals. But we're going too far off. Who would I lure to my house with the name of an animal?
We'll loop back to the rats.
Yeah, that is interesting.
My rat's named Will Smith. Well, they have to come up there.
That's cool.
Will Smith. I'll reference them. There we go. They need some help right now.
Yeah, and then you're getting the whole Smith family of rats.
Hell yeah.
Good in all of them.
Oh my God. Willow Rat. Jaden Rat.
Fuck. He's a jerk.
And just like Will Smith, he leaves a urine trail wherever he drags his testicles.
No worries.
Oh man, that's a good one though. I like that one. Eric, what would you name your pets?
Oh, I guess this boils down to like, what celebrity do you want to meet? Right?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a very silly way of saying what celebrity do you want to meet.
It's fine. Forget the question. Fuck the question all together. Let's just forget it. You know what? Never mind. Let's just move on. But you know what?
I'll rename my cat Jim Carrey. I'd like to meet Jim Carrey.
See, there you go.
That's you know what? To spice it up and make it more pet related, what pet would it be to match that celebrity?
Ooh. Jim would probably have to be like a big parrot.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. A macaw. A macaw.
Macaw. Yeah, that's good. Cam, what are you thinking? What pet would you have and what would you name it? What celebrity?
My pet would be called Harrison Ford. And it would be the dog version of whatever Dennis Quaid's cat is.
Oh, man. But I feel like it would just be this old-ass dog that's got three legs. It's super badass, but it doesn't move.
Doesn't want to go anywhere. You try to give it food. It's just like, that's not my
But fault. He's got stories, man. You can see it in those puppy dog eyes.
Every time he gets angry, he's just like, bark. Bark.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, thank you guys for indulging me.
That was good. Yeah. That was good. We made it better, but it was a good start, Cam. So I like that. All right. Any other advice for Dennis Quaid before we move on to our last question?
I want to say that I think that because if you don't get a cat that's named after yourself, that cat's probably just going to stay there and die, right? You're going to let a cat named Stefan Satani just rot in a... You have to get it.
Can only be one Stefan Satani on this world. So if there's a cat out there, done. Done. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
There ain't room enough for the two of us.
You wouldn't want to know that cat's backstory, though? Like,
how embarrassing would it be if I'm on Instagram and Stefan Satani the cat has more followers than Stefan Satani the human? I would be devastated. I wouldn't be that devastated. But imagine.
Yeah, because it would be true because cats are immediately, they get the followers like nothing. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, dogs, oh, yeah. Instagrams and cats. That's all it
cat tax.
Yeah. Damn. That's the only thing on my fucking Instagram is dog videos, comics, suicide girls. It's about it.
I'm so glad you said girls at the end.
The trifecta.
Yeah, suicide girls.
Oh, Chris.
Colored hair. Colored hair, piercings, tattoos. It's a demographic and I'm into it.
You know what? You're really selling your Instagram, actually. It is pretty cool. It's badass.
That's my Instagram. That's what I'm saying. I should put out more. Like I should put out more good content. But I don't. It's like I can't.
Suicide
that's
guys.
The thing. I can't put out like a thong or something. It's like I don't have the figure for it. Like,
unless
nobody wants to see that.
Sure you
unless
do.
You made your own leather thong.
Oh.
Show off the craftsmanship.
We haven't practiced it, but it's still in the process of trying. We're trying to get the materials together. Got to talk to the chief. I don't know. It's like this. It's a process now.
You could, if you want, no, never mind. That's a stupid idea. We're going to move past it. All right. Moving on to the last question. This is our last question. It's from our fan, Bobby. It's from Reddit. It says, need ideas. Apartment complex office keeps commandeering my packages. I want to send them 30 to 50 large packages of something worthless to annoy them. Oh, you like packages so much? Well, here you go. Enjoy. Any other ideas? Sincerely, package problems.
Hmm.
Well, so,
Red,
that's
this guy seems to be very worked up.
In like stupid small quantities, but put in a stupid big box.
Oh.
Well, here's the question: would you put a bunch of little things in a big box, or would you put a bunch of little things in a bunch of big boxes? Would you just inundate them with like 24 by 24 boxes? Just ship them all the same day? Fuck yeah.
Well, I like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that. I like that too. That's pretty good.
Can you request like the size of boxes that you want stuff shipped in? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like, can you just request the biggest box?
You actually spin a wheel and then whatever it lands on, that's the size of box that your shit goes in.
But like, let's say
you
buy like
post
a
office?
Let's say you buy like a candle. Can you just buy like a giant box? I don't make a lot of things. I I'm not, yep. I don't have a lot of people that live far away from me, I guess, but you can
keep
just
your friends
put, like,
closer. Yeah.
There's whole companies who of, all they do is sell boxes of different sizes.
It's a company that just sells boxes.
People need boxes,
bro. Yeah. You wouldn't believe, man. But boxes are a hot commodity.
There's a company I'm aware of called The Boxery.
Sometimes you got to think inside the box because that's where it's at. Because
more boxes.
Yeah.
Are you guys at all fans of like The Office?
Yeah.
Big.
That was like a Michael Scott quote. Like, you got to think inside the box.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it would be.
That is great.
Inside the box.
Yeah. Oh, think inside the box. Ship yourself inside a box. Ooh, and then when you get there, then they try and commandeer it and you pop out and say, surprise, I caught you in the act. Don't ever do this again.
Just don't forget to poke an air hole or two, especially with the lately, you know, the USPS delays. You don't want to be stuck in the tarmac for a week.
That's true. I mean, either way, they'll get the message across, but a dead I think body. It'll be your best interest to be able to teach them that lesson alive. So I agree. Yes. Air holes, snacks. I had an idea.
Yeah. Growing up, I had aquariums, fish, and reptiles. And what do reptiles eat? Crickets. And I had quite a bit of reptiles, so I had to order my crickets online because can't go to the Petco and order 500 of them from there. So you can order thousands of crickets, live insects. Just fill a box with live insects and ship it.
Ooh.
And
I like that.
Here's the thing. I was on vacation once and one of these boxes arrived and my parents had to open it up to feed my lizard. And I didn't tell them that as soon as you open the flaps, there's no like extra containment or anything. It's
what?
It's a free for all.
They just mail them like that?
Yeah, they just mail them like that. There's little portholes. They throw an orange slice in there. They make sure they get there. Yeah, maybe not August in Arizona. You lose.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's so funny though. I feel like that's a great idea because crickets are like nature's glitter. It's just all over the place. It's gonna take years to get them all out.
And you want to order them as the largest size because those are the ones that'll chirp.
Oh,
I really want to.
Damn,
really want to get evil.
That's pretty evil. That's like lasting. Like that's not going to go away, and they're probably going to keep mating and spreading, and they're going to be there forever.
Or send them wasps.
Oh shit! I was going to say scorpions, but I like wasps.
Get a beehive and just shove it in a box and leave it on their doorstep. Dunzo.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. No comment.
What would you guys think if you got a box in the mail and you opened it up and it's just a bunch of ladybugs?
I've done that too.
Would you feel threatened or would you confused?
You put them on your rose bushes. They take care of the aphids. It's great.
would you think it's a gift?
I mean, because ladybugs are like the sexiest of all insects. I feel like. If it was,
you remember A Bug's Life?
Yeah,
and it was a dude.
Dennis Leary was the boy. Ladybug.
Everybody kept trying to flirt with her. Yeah,
just because I'm a ladybug, that makes me a girl, huh?
You think that would fly? You think they would make that movie today? Mm. Oh, you know what's weird as hell? I bought some bananas from Fry's, and there was a Bug's Life branded sticker on the banana, and I'm like. When the fuck did they like, is Disney just scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to like, all right, what can we market this? We need to.
Let's get rid of these old.
Was that Pixar?
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
A Bug's Life. They like bananas. Give it to them. All right. What'd you guys like better? A Bug's Life or the movie Ants?
Oh dude. Ants all the way.
Whoa, I don't know. conflict.
They feel like different movies, honestly. It feels like just like
they came out at the same time.
You know? I loved A Bug's Life. And this was as a kid. I think I was 10 or 12 years old. I loved A Bug's Life and then was very confused and conflicted by Ants.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a war movie.
That was the first movie that I saw Woody Allen in.
Yeah, probably. It
really set the tone. Really set the tone.
Yeah!
For...
I haven't seen a single one after that because I've been traumatized. I'm like, I don't think I want to see Sleeper. Any other movies with Woody Allen. So... I think Woody Allen wasn't Patrick Warburton in that too, as the warrior ant or whatever it was.
Probably.
Dude, they got slaughtered. They got absolutely slaughtered.
Weren't they like literally acidly melted by the termites?
Spoiler alert, when he was holding his head. Remember that? That scared the hell out of me.
I was like, what was that Patrick Warburton's head?
I think so, yeah. It was during the war, and then he's like talking to him, and he's like dusting him, and he's just carrying his head. It's like, oh my god, I'm just a kid. This is too much for me.
Yeah, that was that went too far, man. Bug's Life was, you know, the edgiest stuff they had was a guy ladybug.
Yeah, it was good.
Kevin Spacey was the bad guy, right? The grasshopper.
Was it Kevin Spacey?
Wow, foreshadowing. Fuck.
Who knew A Bug's Life would teach us so much?
Like the grasshopper who was like the helper. And he's like, we'll do it this way. And like every time Richard Kind pops up in like any movie, I'm just like, yeah, it's one of my favorite fucking actors. He's like,
yes.
This is like the last time. Like, I'm not going to forget his name. That's why I know his name, Richard Kind. Yeah.
All right. Any other advice, any other packages that we could send? I think we've got some really good suggestions here, but in case anyone's holding back. What was that?
No, there's companies out there where you can like ship dog shit to people.
Oh, yeah. Or glitter bombs and shit like that.
Yeah, why not?
Just fucking mash it all together. Do shit with
glitter shit bomb
and grasshoppers.
We call it a plague bomb.
We call it literally shit crickets. It's just I like plague bomb. Plague bomb is good. I like that.
We got the bubonic option.
What kind of plague are you looking for?
We got locusts.
Some dude.
We got the locusts. We got the lamb's blood. We got the.
We'll come in. We'll take their firstborn son. It's like a beesh.
We got frogs. Yeah, we got all 10 of them.
Oh man, I love this. I kind of want to create a name for it: the Plague of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Plagos.
Plagos.
Ages 7 and up. Fuck. Oh man, well that's great. I think that's a great note to end on. And sadly, we've reached the last part of our podcast and now it's time to say goodbye. But before we say farewell, I wanted to say thank you to you, John, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
It was a blast.
It's been awesome, man. Where can people find you? What have you got going on? What have you got to plug? Let us have it.
The only thing is I just recently changed my Instagram handle from Fletcher Built Comedy to Craftsman Comedy. If you already follow me, it doesn't make a difference because probably didn't even notice. But it's that, and then I also do leather work at Fletcher Built Leather Work. Though I like the links on my Instagram if you're on it. But yeah, as far as shows go right now, everybody, we have all the same shows going on right now. There's only like two places doing comedy, so I hope we get back to it soon. But
nice.
Hopefully we're going to be doing like every week. I'm down at El Charro. I love supporting that place. There might be a weekend show coming up in the next couple of months, but who knows?
We'll see. That's awesome, man.
What do you think what do you think about using the name Fletcher's Leathers?
Oh,
kind of has a ring to it.
Fletcher's Leathers.
I like it. If I had a storefront, that would look good on a sign.
Yeah.
But Fletcher Built came from like my father, or like when I worked with my father a couple of years ago, I got a sign once that said Fletcher Built. And it's just that
cool
stuck
too.
With me. So
that's really cool too.
Even like changing it from like, yeah. Do you guys know who Nick Offerman is? Played Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec.
Handy guy.
He's awesome. Oh yeah, hilarious. Netflix special American Ham. Ever since I saw that special, I've been following him, and he does woodworking craftsmanship out of it's either San Diego or LA, but he's got a shop where some of the people who work in there are also comics. So it's I'm trying to polish that road to see if I can actually do clean, healthy, masculine craftsman type stuff. Yeah. It's like, I've actually had people like hit me up and want like to do classes and stuff. And I'm just I'm not at that point yet, but I would love to teach. Anything you learn one day, you can teach a person the next. So maybe up in the next couple of months, I'll probably be doing like classes and leatherwork and one-on-one tutorials and stuff.
Nice. They say some of the best way to learn something is to teach someone else.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's
true.
My favorite part about this is like, well, that way anytime, like I've had people say, it's like, how do you do this? But much like we talked here, it's literally just sitting down and doing it and wanting to like, it's kind of cliche to say, but like a lot of people say that like the longest journey starts with the first step. That pretty much goes with anything with craftsmanship. Unless you're actually sitting there working on something, cutting something. Yeah. That's the only way to learn. So that's all I would do is I would have something prepared nice and easy for somebody. And then by the end of it, you actually have a physical thing that you built.
Nice.
That's the only way I would teach somebody. But
that's so cool, man.
Keep an eye out for that.
Well, good, man. We're going to have the links to your Instagram handles in the show notes so people can follow you, see what's going on with comedy and leather. Mm. Oh, God. Why do I sound so deviant?
The one last thing I want to say. I don't know why I repress this memory, but I just recently remembered that Jimmy Fallon was in a fucking skit called The Leather Man on SNL when I was a kid.
I remember that.
With Horatio Sands,
yeah, and he's walking.
It makes like this noise.
The sound effect stops. Like they become off sync.
It's just like happening when no one's moving.
Yeah,
along with this, I'm probably gonna post that video just so people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I
please. Couldn't
get
oh, please minutes. Do.
I was on the ground crying, laughing so hard, like I became the Leather Man. And it's like
you start getting all squeaky at the open mics. More and more leather as you come. Is Fletcher wearing more leather every week?
Oh, yeah. He's becoming leather.
It's kind of cool. I mean, Tony Stark became Iron Man, so you could definitely become
Leather Man.
They already got a couple of dudes ahead of me in the community before that, so I got my
Oh, that's fair. Well, thank you so much for joining us, John. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.
Later.